Welcome to Shakespeare FC, the Sonnets, a five-minute journey into the iambic opinations on life, love, death, and desire, with a smattering of nature and naughtiness from the mind of our literary epicure from Warwickshire, or, as you become more familiar, Uncle Will. I'm your host, Kari Marshall. In his sonnets, Uncle Will wrote from a very personal place about the human condition, all in just 14 lines. But in that meager space, we can find an absolute wealth of human experience that you just might identify with. So, let's you and I go on a little journey. Today, Uncle Will gives us a bit of a challenge, or at least I found the language a bit challenging when I first came across his 84th sonnet. Unlike most of his sonetical offerings, the images contained within the language are a bit difficult, for me anyway, to parse out. But parse we shall. In the first quatrain, Uncle Will seems to have been bitten by the rhetoric bug. He poses a question to the fair youth. Which poet can say the most? Which poet can praise you more than by simply saying you are singularly unique in the world? With so much beauty contained within you, there is nothing that comes close to compare you to, yourself the only thing being worthy of comparison to yourself.
Who is it that says most, which can say more, that this rich praise, that you alone are you, in whose confine immured is the store, which should example where your equal grew?
In the second quatrain, Uncle Will begins off with the phrase, lean penury within that pen doth dwell, meaning that some poor writer will be unable to think of anything, when it comes to his amazing qualities, that can add to the fair youth's glory, plainly implying that any writer, unlike our brilliant Uncle Will, is unworthy to even put pen to paper in describing the fair youth. He goes on to say that when a poet writes accurately of the fair youth, he will, by the simple act of describing him, give dignity to the poet's words.
Lean penury within that pen doth dwell, that to his subject lends not some small glory. But he that writes of you, if he can tell that you are you, so dignifies his story.
In the third quatrain, Uncle Will goes on to describe the power of the young man's qualities, saying that all a writer must do is simply copy what has already been written about the fair youth, and thereby not damaging what nature has made so perfect. And this poet will present such an image of the young man to the world that his writings and style will gain fame and be universally admired.
Let him but copy what in you is writ, not making worse what nature made so clear. And such a counterpart shall frame his wit, making his style admired everywhere.
In the final couplet, Uncle Will hides a thorn of warning, or chastisement, within the flowery bouquet of his praise of the fair youth's attributes, saying that amongst these blessings nature has bestowed upon you, there is also a curse, as you are a bit too fond of this glorification of your qualities, and that, my boy, makes any effort to give a claim to your traits somehow worse.
You, to your beauteous blessings, add a curse, being fond of praise, which makes your praises worse.
So, to sum up, you are beyond compare, but if a poet attempts to do so, your qualities will raise the level of their writing to universal acclaim. But the fact that you are so fond of praise diminishes your qualities. There. Consider your poetry parsed, Uncle Will. Sort of. Well, alas and alack, my friends, that is all we have time for. Join us again next time for another hopefully informative journey into the mind of Uncle William. I'm Kari Marshall. Farewell until next time.
Shakespeare FC is a production of WGTE Public Media and is sponsored in part by a generous donation from the Cowie Family Fund. All previous episodes are available at wgte.org/sfc or wherever you get your podcasts.